The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
The 2018 Daily Upper-Decker NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome once again to another great week of Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap talk here. I'm Tommy Gimler. I am joined by sports gambling podcast college basketball guru and college football guru, but he's here because he's a college basketball guy and an all-around good American guy as well. Colby Dant, good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm actually here for the free beer.
Thank you. Of course, nothing but the best, too. The Miller Lite cans, just like the ones that Justin's dad used to throw at him. The old ones. And, of course, over here we've got Justin Gilbert, Chicago's finest son, Justin Gilbert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Cubs fan, huh?
Cubs fan. Happy to be here.
He honestly thought we were going to talk spring training baseball.
Yeah.
He's wait, like, we're what not? Is
this? He's got wait, 20, wait, he's got 20 pages
second.
Of Yu Darvish
wait,
notes over here.
Wait, I thought we were talking about Yu Darvish all night.
Yu Darvish, baby.
You're not a DePaul basketball fan?
Who?
So the reason why we're here, obviously, is it's one of the greatest sports, I would say, tournaments around. It really is. It's such a great time. It's such an exciting time, unless you're the players, in which you're doing all this for free while, you know, this corrupt organization known as the W, it should be the W in there, but it's the NCAA, the corrupt organization that is the NCAA. They make billions of dollars while you sit and bust your hump over and over and over again.
Legalized
for free books.
Prostitution.
Free books. It is. It
legalized
is.
Legalized prostitution.
It is. It's garbage, and we could probably do a whole podcast on just how wrong that is. But I wanted to get like kind of the crookedness and like the corruption theme going, because I want to start off our 2018 Daily Upper Decker NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge podcast. I want to start it off with Syracuse making the field of 68 teams.
Just absolute shit. Let's just be honest. Can we call a spade here? Just.
Well, I mean, they do have Carmelo Anthony, and he's a fucking great player.
Derek Coleman, right? And Ronnie Cicely, right? But
Miami's finest Ronnie Cicely, yeah.
Great DJ. Did you know he's
great
a
hair.
Club DJ now? I am not shitting
Ronnie
you.
Ronnie Cicely is
EDM.
A club DJ? That's
Google
why you
this
come
right
here.
Now. Google this thing right now. He is a club DJ. He does, I believe he does EDM or techno or
no, it's yeah, it's
got to be EDM, yeah. Right? He's Lebanese. He's got to be EDM.
If I ever grow out my hair, it looks like Ronnie Cicely. They make that joke. I'm like, whenever like, oh, why don't you grow your hair long? And I'm like, I look like Ronnie Cicely. That's
how
why
former,
I don't do it.
How former NBA big man Ronnie Cicely became a world famous DJ. Free listening on SoundCloud.
Well, dude, but wait, I've been at a club where he's been fucking spinning before.
Come on, here it's in Los Angeles,
yes.
This sounds more like a Wichita.
He gets
kind of
to
club.
LA sometimes, man. We sell him at some club in Hollywood, but no, he's cycling. He doesn't.
It sounds like he might be opening for the Spasmatics down at Saint Rock or something.
You are aware that Ronnie Cicely at one point was traded to? Okay, no, he was. I'm sorry, he was drafted by the Miami Heat.
I think I had his hoops card.
And he played with John Sally, who had gotten traded from the Detroit Pistons. And he said to John Sally, and there's an article you can probably search this, is that. He said, hey, man, what's with making the playoffs? They don't pay you any extra. And he goes, John Sally replies, but we can win the championship. And Ronnie Cicely replied, but that cuts into my summer. So, and then John Sally was like, fuck, man, who am I with here in Miami? You know what I mean? You find that? You Google it?
No, it's on there. Yeah, you can Google it. You can Google it. We won't be doing an article on it anytime soon because we're going to try and help people fill out their brackets.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still good talk. It's
see
it's
what
great
happens,
talk.
Man? You put me on here.
Yeah, way
I start talking
trend.
About 80s basketball in no time. You know what I mean?
Well, I do think that Ronnie Cicely belongs to the DJ business. It fits in as well to the DJ business as well as Syracuse fits into this year's tournament.
Exactly.
All right, get back on track there. Now, Syracuse... In all my years, now every year you have bubble teams. You have teams like you'll have Dick Vitale who'll be like, "This is a disgrace."
Yeah.
The Silver City Lightning and sensational. I tell you, St. Mary's, how can I put them in 28-5? It's just a disgrace, and it really is just a travesty here that they didn't get in. And you hear them just like yelling every single year, and there always is like 1, 2, 3 teams maybe that should have gotten in or shouldn't have, but it's just kind of like, eh. You know,
because you can argue the other side, where as much as this year, I feel like you really can't argue the other side.
There is no argument to the other side.
Oklahoma
now,
being in two. I mean,
right.
There's a few teams, but let's just go Syracuse to start this off.
So starting with Syracuse. Now, the only reason that I could come up with that they would put Syracuse in is because they have such a devoted following. Like, they're borderline a delusional fan base in that they won't go out and do something because Syracuse is playing Prairie View A&M on an ESPN3 network or some shit.
Yeah.
So they'll stay in and watch that, and they'll be like, ah, we'll be a little bit late because Syracuse is playing Prairie View A&M. So the committee knows that that was probably the most dedicated fan base that was still not in the tournament yet. Notre Dame has a good following. Mm-hmm. And they were right on the cusp as well. If Davidson doesn't beat Rhode Island, then Notre Dame is in as well. But it's one of those things where the only reason I can come up with is that it was dollars. It was all dollars. The amount of people who are going to watch now Syracuse over like a Middle Tennessee State.
Well, how many journalists that are famous in this country are from Syracuse University? Correct. There's a great amount. You know what I mean? So it's the trendy pick. You know what I mean?
And Boeheim is – everyone loves Boeheim. And
or they hate him.
Or they hate him, but like all like the ESPN analysts are like, well, I mean,
that's because they all went. Like he said, they all went to Syracuse.
We love the guy, but they shouldn't be in the tournament.
Yeah,
they're all real nice about it. We weren't as nice here at the Daily Upper Decker. So I asked our good buddy, the fabulous T-Sean. I gave him a call, shot him a text. I'm like, hey man, give me a reason. Give me some reasons why would Syracuse make the tournament? So he left me this voicemail, and you tell me if this makes any sense. This is the fabulous T-Sean.
Yes, that is, of course, a chant from the 1996 Syracuse Orangemen run to the final game, the championship game. It did fall to the Kentucky Wildcats, but I know we're talking about it.
Right away, brings up a loss. He didn't even win that, but he's talking about, of course, it's a great chant.
We got there, though.
The Eve of Playa del Rey.
Saying I was the Doug Gottlieb of Playa del Rey.
Defecating on the Cuse, you're crying. Just all seems really infantile to me, though, frankly. And I would know, because I do have an infant. You know, Cuse checks a lot of boxes. I personally would not have been crying if they didn't make it. I would have understood. They were on the bubble. Jesus. Anyway, they won 20 games. At number 14 in strength of schedule. They do play in the very best, toughest conference in all of the land.
Exactly.
Primarily highly ranked teams all the time. We finished with a big win, even against number 12 Clemson to finish the season. We did win
number
a game
12,
in our conference tournament.
When?
These are things that December?
Left
a good taste in the committee's mouth. And, you know, March Madness is a business, yo. It's entertainment business. It's showbiz. And so, you know, we have a love to hate coaching personality, Coach Boeheim, with a delightful wife, though. He does have a delightful. Actually, why wouldn't this resonate with you, Tommy? I mean, you know, something like that, you know, a love to hate personality with a delightful wife. Come on.
That's funny.
Like you would recognize. And as far as the people complaining, you know, you got like a St. Mary's. St. Mary's, though, sounds like the kind of school that where you get hit on the knuckles a lot by like a really mean nun with a ruler. And so I feel like they have other things to cry about. And, you know, you got like Oklahoma State, USC, Notre Dame, wah. But since when do you even care about basketball? I do thank Oklahoma State for Von Miller and maybe a little shout-out to Ricky Fowler as well, and not for Doug Gottlieb, who was apparently an alumnus. USC, you've been in basketball purgatory ever since, like, Harold Baby Jordan Minor left in the early 90s, you know. So it's sort of like, you know, maybe blame your conference, right? Oklahoma State should be blaming Oklahoma, USC, maybe Arizona State. But they have better marquee names, right? Like, you got Trey Young on the court, and you got Bobby on there.
And there you go. What happened is I think my voicemail determined that this is delirious.
Yes.
This is bullshit.
I mean, where
and
the
they
fuck
just,
was
they
he
They just
going
cut him off.
Then?
I have no idea. And actually, we had the perfect response to that. What T-Sean, the fabulous T-Sean, just said, I believe that this sums it up perfectly.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I think that pretty much wraps it up right there. Now, for starters, like, this is a typical Syracuse fan, I think, right here, where he can't even get the numbers correct, right? Yeah. Strength of schedule was actually 15. Now, he's only off by one.
Well,
but apparently,
and even the strength of schedule, you can kind of shoot holes in if you really analyze it, because it doesn't value the wins. If you lose to every good team and you play a great strength of schedule, well, it's like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, what was Pittsburgh's strength of schedule this year? They went 0-18 in the ACC, but they all played like the amazing team. So they have a great strength of schedule, but you didn't win one of those games.
And then he quotes Von Miller. First off, Von Miller went to Texas A&M. He didn't go to Oklahoma State. All right, so I don't know what the fuck that's even having to do there. All right.
Well, there's so many things about it, too. Like, Clemson was ranked number 18 at the time.
The Clemson's a fucking joke. They're a joke. They haven't been in the tournament in years. They made it this year. All right, they're going to lose in the first round of New Mexico State. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the rebounding.
They got lucky this whole year. They started off hot in December, but they've kind of trickled down the stretch of the season here.
Well, here you go. So I actually was just an absolute numbers nerd. Last night into this morning to 1:30, slept for a couple hours, woke up, finished this Excel spreadsheet that goes through like turnover margin, rebound margin, wins, losses, whatever. Now, Tishon mentioned the 20 wins, right? Only six teams out of the 68 teams have fewer victories than the 20 wins, all right? Only five teams have more losses than Syracuse. Only one team in the tourney scores fewer points per game. That's number 16 seeded Radford.
Oh, they're good. They're good.
Look out for them.
I've been there, actually. I've been to Radford University.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of good buddies. Good old Jeremy McCready went to...
A lot of whores
what
there.
What state is that?
Yeah, they are.
Virginia. Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah. I've heard of it. And regular only... or West?
Regular or West?
Regular, to answer your question.
Okay.
Only five teams.
But it's close. It's close to West.
Only five teams have a worse scoring margin than Syracuse. Three of those teams are 16 seeds. Nobody in the field of 68 has a worse field goal percentage than the Orange, and only Texas shoots the ball worse from beyond the arc than Syracuse does.
And might I add that one of those six teams is, or one of those 16 seeds is Texas Southern, who started off 0-13. And their record's 15-19. That means that they went 15-2. What is it? No, 15-4.
15-4.
Yeah.
15-4 in
conference. 15-4 since then. So they're even probably better than Syracuse at this moment.
Right. Basically, all these stats are saying is that the only team that's worse than Syracuse in the tournament is Radford.
Yeah, exactly.
The only team.
And I'd still argue that, just to be an asshole.
So I asked, like, if you look, like, Syracuse went 8-10 in the ACC. Hey, congratulations. That's a tough conference, 8-10. Two of those wins were against Pittsburgh. They haven't won an ACC game in 370 days. It's been 370 days since Pittsburgh has won an ACC game, and two of their eight ACC wins
come against them.
Came against Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, I made the mistake, Tommy, of tweeting my frustration that Syracuse made the tournament last night, and I had like 1,000 Syracuse followers just shit on me the whole night. Saying they're quoting the RPI and everything. Once again, all that shit, how many Tier 1 victories you have? Well, you play in a Tier 1 fucking conference. So therefore, you're going to have more Tier 1 games than Middle Tennessee State does.
Right. And so it's like, let's say you take just the teams from the ACC that matter. Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, Miami, NC State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Florida State. Cuse went 3-7 against them. Only one of those wins came against a team when they were ranked. That was Clemson. And they beat them 55-52 at home when they were ranked number 18.
Let's just go through here. Oklahoma State beat the number one-seeded Kansas Jayhawks twice, swept them in the regular season. One at Kansas, one of the hardest places to win in the country. Then they beat West Virginia at West Virginia. What are they? Oh, they were number three or four in the nation at the time. Went into Morgantown, won, right? Then played a quote-unquote neutral site game against Florida State in Jacksonville, Florida, right? You know
hold on,
game?
Let me get my intern on that. That's not neutral.
Exactly, right? Beat Florida State.
Although I bet you if you asked the majority of Florida State graduates wouldn't be able to tell that Jacksonville is actually in the state of Florida.
That's true. Right?
Let's
that's
be honest there.
True.
All right, there you go.
Then they beat Oklahoma twice this year. Then they beat Texas Tech in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Texas Tech, top 10 team. How the fuck do you put in Syracuse? Well, I mean, my first question would be, how do you put it Oklahoma when they
Oklahoma State beat them.
Yeah, when they beat them twice. But then you put in Syracuse when their best win is Clemson, when you have When you have Oklahoma State, who won all those games, we just mentioned how many top 10 victories there. And then they went, by the way, might I add, Oklahoma State did beat Pittsburgh.
Yes, they did.
They have that in common. You know what I mean?
Well, and if you know, this is the thing too about like I understand it's what makes like a good fan. Even if you're a Bears fan, you've had to ride the delirium train for quite a long time and trying to come up with like positive reasons that your team should still
be here. Well, I just realized I'm very outmatched right now in this conversation.
Whoa, no, he's a Bears fan. You're not outmatched because I'm a fucking Jets fan.
Well,
I'm not saying NFL. I'm just saying college basketball. I'm like, whoa, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a maniac. I don't even know
where Radford is, but all right. So were they in the tournament?
Well, they're going to be in this year's tournament. They haven't been in the tournament in quite some time.
It's just basically like every single stat that's out there, even if people want to talk about BPI, if your Syracuse guys want to talk about BPI.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are teams like Maryland, Louisiana in the Sun Belt Conference, and two teams in the ACC, Notre Dame and Louisville, who had a higher BPI.
Louisville's
than
better
than Syracuse.
Yeah, and Notre Dame's best win. They beat Wichita State. That's
they beat
already
Syracuse.
Way better.
Heads up.
Yeah, yeah.
They
beat
them
without their top three players. By the way, might I add,
unbelievable.
Their top three players were injured for that game.
One of the worst games of all time.
51-49.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember that game.
Okay.
So anyway,
okay.
I wanted to start by saying that because this year. I cannot remember a team like this Syracuse team that really doesn't belong. And poor Doug Gottlieb 2 years ago blew his load on, like, you know, coming out with all the reasons why Syracuse didn't belong, and then they went to the Final Four. And I honestly, we were talking off mic, the same thing is probably going to happen again. Nobody is better at reading his hate mail than Jim Boeheim. Nobody is better than taking his hate mail and turning that into positive, poster board material bulletin board material than Jim Boeheim. They're going up against another squad in Arizona State in the play-in game. They're going to beat them. And the only reason why Arizona State made it, Duke,
yeah, well,
Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see Arizona State winning that game.
And tell me
too.
Why.
I could too. But both suck.
No, they both don't.
They both don't
belong.
But Arizona State is a team that here's what doesn't make any sense to me, all right? USC finished second in the Pac-12 and then went and played for the Pac-12 championship. Got all the way to the championship game. Lost to Arizona. Arizona State finished ninth in the Pac-12. You know what? They lost in the first round to Colorado. How the fuck is Arizona State ahead of USC? And look, and I hate USC. I fucking hate USC. They were a dirty-ass program in football, basketball. They're probably dirty in fucking tennis. But I'm saying is that how do you, if you're in that room and you're just choosing, how the fuck do you come up with the thing, okay, where we're going to put Arizona State in over USC? You finished ninth in a terrible conference this year. The Pac-12 is normally good. It was fucking terrible. They only sent three teams this year. You finished ninth. Zero logic. I don't understand.
I thought your logic hit it right on the head. The teams that were on the bubble that didn't make it.
Yeah.
USC, Oklahoma State. And?
Louisville.
What do they all have in common?
The scandal.
They're all under investigation.
Scandal, yes.
And let's bring up Arizona being misseeded.
I like Arizona.
Yes.
They might win it all. I might pick them and win it all.
Fuck you mode. But I'm saying, like, they were supposed to be a 2 seed. They pushed them back to a 4. So clearly they're trying to disrespect all these teams that are in the involved with the scandal.
They're just trying to get them to lose. Like even Michigan State being a 3 instead, even though they were like ranked number 2 at the end of the year, they're number 3, and they're in Duke's bracket, aren't they? Are they?
Yeah.
Are they in Duke?
I think they are.
And they gave Duke a cupcake.
But
cupcake. Iona's one of the worst teams.
And, well, what's hilarious also though is that I think I would not be surprised if while the tournament is going on, if the FBI or somehow our media releases another agency, which probably implements like 10 other schools. I mean, look, Auburn's one of those fucking schools. Duke's actually one of the fucking schools.
Let's hope so, because there hasn't been a good scandal in this country for a long time.
Right, no. Right.
I can't remember the last time. One more thing before we actually jump into the bracket. Of course, we've got the Sports Gambling Podcast, Colby Dant. You can find the Sports Gambling Podcast at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Gambling Podcast.
Top 150 downloads in the nation right now.
I love it.
Beautiful.
You guys are rolling over there. And then, of course, you can find Colby and all of his amazing picks. Betting against the spread at the Colby D. The Colby D.
On Twitter. Just type in at the Colby
on
D.
Twitter.
You're going to find.
No, you can. If you type in at the
Colby
D.
Porn website.
Okay. two guys belching. That is the Colby D, all right. That's
exactly
that's what he's doing to pay rent these days. This is the last thing I want to play before we jump into the bracket. You're here for that. I consider you the college basketball expert. I watched and lost a lot of money on college basketball so far this year, so I consider myself above average. Just that I've watched enough. I know where schools are. And then I brought in Justin Gilbert, who your knowledge, your education on the like basically the whole college basketball season has been what?
I heard of Trey Young. And
Sonoma State. You went to all their games this year, right? And covered Sonoma State.
Yeah.
The Four Letters doing this 24-hour NCAA bracket thing again that they were doing last year. Remember that? And then he watched what, like 3 hours of that?
Yeah.
So that is his level of expertise right there.
3 hours of ESPN knowledge is what I have right now.
Well, check us out. I'll be honest. I did a bracket maybe 10 years ago, and my mother was a school teacher. She had another teacher fill out a bracket who had never watched college basketball. This woman won the pool. So we had me and my brothers that probably watched a million basketball games. And the point is that we're all fucking idiots on this planet.
I'd also like to mention that you saying ESPN and knowledge in the same sentence is the only time you're ever going to hear that. You did throw me off a bit with that. Thank you.
It's one of those oxymorons.
I literally had a seizure for the last 30 seconds. I blacked out there. I didn't know what was going
on.
Just one more thing I want to say. We were talking about Clemson. This Clemson bro got arrested. This is just a friendly reminder. I'd like to be funny here on the Daily Upper Decker, but I also like to be educational. If you ever find yourself, even if the cops have the wrong guy, even if you're the wrong guy, just bite your tongue. I mean, not literally. Don't cut it off, because if they throw your face into the pavement, you might bite it off. But I'm just saying, just say, hey, I think you're mistaken. You have the wrong guy, but I'm going to cooperate. Whatever. Just be a gentleman, and everything's going to work out fine.
Is this for white people or is this in general?
This is where
that's a little different. Sometimes you don't have the opportunity to explain yourself if you're not white. You know what I mean? They just start beating you.
This guy was white.
Okay.
Not a Clemson. And this is the way. I don't think it's going to work out too well for him. It's funny how he went from "you're fat ass, I dare you, my dad's a federal attorney, I dare you, you fucking bitch," to "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." Yeah, I think there's a reason why all of a sudden you couldn't breathe, sir. So just use your head. It's going to be a fun couple of 4 days here. March Madness, it's always one of the greatest times of the year. And we're going to get drunk. It is, coincides with St. Patrick's Day and my 40th birthday. It's going to be a great time. If you get in trouble, do not address police officers in that manner. Show a little bit of restraint.
Don't call them what fat ass did.
Fat ass fucking bitch, yeah. I don't care if your dad's a federal attorney or not.
On social media with cocaine in the background and pizzas? Is that okay?
Of course, the Odell Beckham
joke. If you're not getting that audience, that's a great joke.
All right, here it is. It's time to fill out our brackets here at the Daily Upper Decker. Now, you can get in our Daily Upper Decker Bracket Challenge, where the winner goes home with $100 this year. $100. It was a good year. Pretty sure we're going to do okay on our taxes.
Katie, too, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Was it just me? There's a reason why there's flowers at our table right now, right over here. Huh? Thanks again
for the real deal.
Thanks again for the full-time job and the benefits.
Those are the real deal, not fake flowers.
You're a better man than me, Tommy. This isn't the $9.99 bouquet. This is the $14.99 bouquet at Ralph's.
The Ralph special.
And the $24.99 is a little much, huh?
Yeah, I know.
But hey, thanks for the benefits. All right, got to get my cavities filled next week. All right, so you can win our bracket challenge. It's free to join. All right, so go to dailyupperdecker.com, click on the background image. There's also an article. There'll be another one up there tomorrow. Just click on that. It'll take you to Yahoo, where we have our bracket set.
I mean, why wouldn't you join? Free opportunity to make $100. You're sitting there at the office, dicking around, probably playing some type of Words with Friends on your phone.
Jerking off to your intern.
Just sit there.
That's unbelievable.
Put the pictures away of the girl you wanted to fuck but couldn't fuck this past weekend. All right? Stalking her Facebook. Just sit there and fill out the bracket. Win $100. Maybe you can take her out. Maybe she'll think you're nice.
Yeah, Dad. You know, come on. All right. Here we go. So this is what we're going to do. We have 35 minutes left. So we are going to spend 8 minutes on each region. 8 minutes on each region. And then we're going to go with our champion. All right. So Colby Dant, you are the pro. We are going to start in the East. We're going to start in the East, where the top four seeds are Villanova, Purdue, Texas Tech, and Wichita State. Congratulations, Wichita State. You had a better team last year, but because you were in a shit conference, the committee put you at number 10. This year, you joined the AAC. You have a worse team, but you are number 4.
Yeah, that's what they do to you.
Well, they have Silk the Shocker as their coach now, so that's good.
By far the most erotic team. The most erotic team in the bracket again this year.
So what are we doing? Just picking out who we got out of this conference, what games we're going through.
Why don't you start out? Like, tell me. Obviously, you know, we don't need to talk about Radford or LIU. Hey, Radford's a great story. That is a party town. Like you said, a lot of whores.
Yeah, a lot of whores.
Not even waiting for the
whores. Yeah.
In regular Virginia, no need to wait for the third date there with those girls. It's like the third minute. It's like the third house party. That's it. You get to the third house party in one night, you're good to go. So there's no reason. Everyone knows that Villanova is going to go. Purdue is going to win. Now, I want to talk about like maybe your upset special here or like an 8-9 team that could go somewhere, or 7-10. Like maybe give me a team that maybe might not be like a top four seed that could advance to the Elite Eight, maybe Final Four.
I actually like the play-in team that plays Florida. I think that's a good opportunity for an upset. I also, I've been back in Texas Tech all year, but I was also watching Stephen F. Austin all year, and I thought Stephen F. Austin was going to give some team hell. It's unfortunate they drew Texas Tech because it kind of battles with the team that I really picked to go pretty far. But I will say, if you are a gambling man, you might want to take Stephen F. Austin in the points. I do think Texas Tech could come out of that, but I like Butler to go. I like Butler to give Purdue hell. But I like Wichita to beat West Virginia. I think that's certainly possible. I think people are underestimating Wichita. They've lost a couple games by a point. But I got Nova coming out of this, I'll be honest.
I think this is the easiest region to come out of for the number one seed. I think Villanova is going to walk out of here easily.
Yeah.
Do you have reasoning behind this?
They don't have any real challenges, I don't think.
I think
Purdue is like the toughest one, but like a lot of the other regions have much tougher challenges.
I do enjoy that there are a number of SEC teams in this region, because I do believe that the SEC is one of the most overrated conferences.
Watching
Alabama and Auburn play, it was just a lot of like running up and down the court. It was like, it was a great way to stay in shape, but it definitely wasn't like a very good game of basketball. Alabama got hot in the second half against Auburn, but again, in like Kentucky, they just looked like shit.
It's that Sexton kid. He's great. He's one of the best guards in the...
Another erotic part. We have Wichita State Shockers. You got Sexton in here. A very erotic region. By far the East.
I'll say that I like Wichita to give Nova a scare. If there's one team that could really... I don't think West Virginia. A lot of people think West Virginia. I think Wichita could definitely give Nova a ball game.
All right. The team I've got coming out of the East is Purdue. Seems to be, like, to me, one of the most complete teams in there. You have your inside force. You have your – they're good from outside. They're good from inside. I want to pull up this Rain Man-type Excel spreadsheet that I –
My problem would be is that they historically are terrible in the tournament.
Purdue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Villanova was historically
That's
bad
true.
For a
they
while.
Got, they did get over the hump.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, look, I get it. I get it. They got some height and they got some great shooters. But I'm still skeptical.
But yeah, I don't think taking like I've got Villanova facing off against Purdue in the Elite Eight. I think Villanova is just lights out right now. They are by far the best 3-point shooting team in the
I think the best
in the
team
tournament.
In the country. I
yeah,
think
they're rolling right now. You know, whether or not like West Virginia be able to channel that, I feel like their defense. Their full court pressure hasn't been as good as it has been in the years past.
Agreed, but they are better offensively than
Correct.
They have been in
Correct.
Years past.
So the big game that I have here, the biggest upset, I do have Stephen F. Austin taking down Texas Tech.
I like it. I think there's a great chance because Stephen F. Austin is great. They run.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times from people. Like they like that
in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah,
but I'll say this. Yeah.
From my 3 hours of ESPN. I'm just joking.
It's just unfortunate they are playing Texas Tech to me because I really like this Texas Tech squad. So I personally took Texas Tech money line, but I love Stephen F. Austin on the cover because they're going to scare the fuck out of them.
Yeah, exactly. At the very worst, I would say you take them to cover that game. I still am a fan of them ever since little Bryce Harper. Remember, mini Bryce Harper was playing against Duke. They should have beaten Duke that time. A couple questionable calls down the stretch.
Duke getting questionable calls? Remember that national championship against Wisconsin when the ball clearly went out of bounds off fucking Duke?
That was Grayson Allen's just introduction to being a shit dick. So this is I crunched all these numbers, and this is where it's like points per game, scoring margin, you know, field goal percentage, all that stuff. Stephen F. Austin has a scoring margin of 13. Texas Tech, scoring margin of 10.5. Field goal percentage, Texas Tech 46.4, Stephen F. Austin 48.8. So they're a full more than two points higher there. They both shoot 7 3-pointers a game, or they make 7 3-pointers a game. Stephen F. Austin is 37.2 from downtown, 36.6 for Texas Tech. When it comes to free throw percentage, Stephen F. Austin is slightly better than them. When it comes to rebound margin, it's pretty equal. Texas Tech has a 4.2 rebound margin over Stephen F. Austin, 3.9. And when it comes to the turnover margin, this is where
Stephen F. Austin is great.
Correct. Yeah. And so they're better. It's not that Texas Tech is bad. Texas Tech is still pretty good. But Stephen F. Austin is one of the tops in the country at 4.41 at the turnover margin. And I just think it's one of those games where you look and the numbers all favor Stephen F. Austin.
And if you're a listener, they run a full court press and they're pretty deep and they got athleticism. The knock would be, not that I want to shit on Stephen F. Austin, but the knock would be that they're playing against competition from their conference, so the stats could be jaded. I think Stephen F. Austin is very good, and I think they're going to give Texas Tech a hell of a game. But I'm just saying that would be the knock. That would be what the Texas Tech fan would say. Back to you.
So there's also, like, you know that there's just going to be a double-digit seed that wins. So my double-digit, I still have Stephen F. Austin, but I also like Butler over
I love
Arkansas.
Butler over Arkansas, too. I love that one, actually.
I do think
Moneyline that fucking thing. Moneyline that thing. If you're gambling, moneyline that thing. I think Arkansas is like a two-point favorite.
All right, so just so we have the record straight, I've got Purdue, you've got Villanova, you've got Villanova.
Villanova, yes.
Villanova. So, again, I think it's really important here. There's also a play-in game in this bracket. You have UCLA and St. Bonaventure. The winner plays Florida. I think it's really important to note that almost every year in that like 11 or 10 or 12, wherever they have like the play-in games there, almost like VCU went to the Final Four 1 year. Wichita State went to the
Tennessee went to the Sweet 16 one
Tennessee,
year.
Tennessee. It's like you have to take one of those play-in games, not at the 16.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to take. So this year, the two play-in games are Syracuse and Arizona State in the Midwest, which is where we're going to go next. We're going to go down to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have St. Bonaventure or UCLA, another couple of 11 seeds right there. Which of those four teams do you see being able to go?
I mean, I took the Q's, but I think UCLA is certainly capable. UCLA is one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. If they get hot, they can beat. They were beating Michigan by like 20 at Michigan earlier this year. They ended up losing that game because they kind of gave up on them. But I think
like getting arrested for those thefts in China really brought that team together. You know, you lost the ball kid, which was great.
Yeah, that's better a plus team, for your team.
Better team. LeVar Ball hasn't been within 2,000 miles of
exactly.
I'm sure he has.
I mean, I personally like Syracuse's route a little better because Florida historically does great in the tournament. They haven't lost in the first round in a long time.
Right now, you know, I've got Florida going to the Sweet 16 where they bow out to Purdue again. Florida's one of those teams. I don't understand why. They were ranked like top five beginning of the year, and then they seemed like to trail off. They had a bad stretch, and they never made it back into the rankings. Really, why? They lose like a player or two. What's the
no? They played. They just went up. Were up and down. I mean, I think they might have had some injuries in the middle of the year, but that conference. Look, as much as I think it's going to be overrated come tournament time, it was deep. We can't argue that. I mean, South Carolina didn't make the tournament, but South Carolina is a team that could beat you on any given day. As you saw, Frank Martin took them to the Final Four last year. Now, they lost some pieces from that, but I'm saying that's what I mean by that. The conference was deep, so, yeah, there's a lot of contrast of styles in the conference, too. But, you know, I still think they're a team that you should fear to have to play, you know, if you're either St. Bonaventure or UCLA.
All right, good. Let's jump down into the Midwest. Colby, we will start with you again. You are the college basketball expert. You have your top four seeds of Kansas, Duke, Michigan State, and Auburn. I do believe when you're looking at the the top three seeds, I think that any one of those three teams could have been the number one here.
I would agree. I actually think Penn is also the best 16 I've seen in a long time.
In a long time?
Yeah.
The numbers.
Yeah.
That could be.
I mean, that's actually, like, you don't want to piss off smart kids.
I was pretty shocked they got a 16. I don't understand how they got a 16. Really, I mean, we could sit there and break down this committee.
All right, would you say, like, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because they're both going to lose, but Iona or Pennsylvania?
I mean, easily.
Iona is easily. By far the worst team. And again, when you look at it, like, where did Iona go as the 15?
They go to Duke.
They go to Duke because it's a cupcake, so it makes sure that Duke gets another game.
The defense on this is my brother's a big Duke fan, by the way. Don't ask me about that. But
did he go to Duke?
No.
Then he's an asshole.
Yeah. Exactly.
there's no other explanation.
He's if a Lakers and a Duke, Cowboys yeah, right, fan. Right, so, yeah.
If you are a Yankees fan and have never lived in New York or at least Connecticut or Jersey or anything
like that,
you're an asshole.
I agree. But he was a little scared to play Iona. My brother covers college basketball with me on Twitter pretty well with me in this pick 'em. And Iona, I will say this. The second half of the season, Iona's been a lot better than the first half of the season, and they got some shooters. However, with that said, Penn still did not deserve a 16 seed. They really fucked over the Ivy League. Okay, so the better question is, okay, out of this conference, by the way, I agree with Tommy. Auburn is completely counterfeit, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if Charleston beat them straight up. I love New Mexico State money line against Clemson. Michigan State is who I like out of this. I'll be honest. Michigan State's going to win this. They're going to win this thing. NC State is going to be – talk about a terrible seed for Kansas to draw round two.
That is bad.
Yep. They better hope Seton Hall beats NC State.
For sure, yeah. Seton Hall, I think, is an overrated team. I saw them play a couple of times this year against, like, the Creightons, against the Butlers.
But they're a weird team. Yeah, they're like a weird – I agree. I think they're overrated. They definitely –
I think they're too big. Like, it seems like a lot of the guys, like their guards, to me, maybe it was just that the bigger guys were handling the ball at that certain time, but they seem like too lanky, like too big, not able to flow.
But, like, when you analyze that team, they're the classic underachiever. But at the same time, when you look at the roster, you're like, damn, they could be really good. So my point is if Seton Hall got hot, I don't think anyone would want to – actually, I don't think Kansas would want to play either of these teams, but especially NC State, who's already beat UNC at UNC, already beat Duke, already beat some other really big schools that I can't recall off the top of my head. But give me Michigan State out of this. Come on, Miles Bridges. They got misseeded. Three seed my ass.
Three seed. But again, it's like everything – I want to go back to you talking about like all the teams involved in a scandal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but Duke was in that scandal.
Huh?
Duke was in that scandal.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Duke is a darling. If Duke would wind up getting busted...
You can't do that to Coach K because he's too big. He's
right. So
he's
if that would, then all of a sudden everything would change.
Yeah.
It would actually be a good thing for the game if like Coach K and the whole Duke program...
Well, we haven't got to North Carolina yet. Look at North Carolina getting Lipscomb. I think that's the easiest matchup of the whole entire tournament, and they play in Charlotte. Talk about fucking love.
We'll get there. That is called foreshadowing in the podcast game. Foreshadowing. Justin, anything that you see of importance coming out of here?
Do you have Michigan State?
I have Michigan State over Kansas. Auburn, Duke. Nothing too surprising in this.
Okay, I actually have NC State taking down Kansas.
Me too.
I've got them winning, and then I have them beating New Mexico State. I honestly think that Auburn, if they don't lose to the College of Charleston, they're going to lose to Clemson or New Mexico State.
I feel like Tommy stole my bracket. I have New Mexico State in the Sweet 16.
I love the whole, like, get the teams involved in the scandal the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So, and another thing, like, I honestly don't think they want Michigan State around either with the whole Larry Nassar and then everything else coming around with the burying of the
it's going to be a scandal Final Four. It's going to be Arizona, Michigan State.
It's almost like drafting a fantasy team of all felons of like all guys who have been suspended at one point or another. Ezekiel Elliott's my running back.
I will say, you know, Bucknell is really good, and I thought they got kind of fucked over by getting Michigan State in the first round. So, but maybe, I mean, this team's really good, so maybe they can scare the Spartans some.
Now, I am, even though we just hated on Syracuse for about 15 minutes.
They're on my Sweet 16.
That, I have them beating TCU.
Do you have them winning the next round?
No, I have them, Michigan State, beating them.
What? Syracuse?
Yep.
What are you talking about?
My bracket here, TCU plays the winner of Arizona State and Syracuse. Michigan State plays Bucknell. That would put Michigan State against ASU, Syracuse, or TCU.
Okay. I don't know how I was.
Well, you're supposed to be the expert here.
Maybe
we're in trouble here. Abort! Abort!
Yeah. I thought I had Syracuse in my Sweet 16.
But see what happens?
We were drinking Jameson last night.
20 minutes around the Chicago sports fan, you turned into a complete ass clown.
We were drinking. It's crazy how that drinking Jameson last night. Maybe it was UCLA that I had in the Sweet 16 that played Florida.
That would make way more sense, especially right now. But the JMO sounds delicious.
But what if Bucknell beats Michigan State? Tony, Bucknell's really good. Michigan State is going to come out of this conference, but I think...
Do you think it's by far the most competitive region?
No.
Or do you think the next one we're going
to
talk about?
I think Virginia is...
Virginia is the most competitive.
I have Duke coming out of this one, and this is why. Because if the scandal hits and, like, Duke, for whatever reason, would get hammered with something, or, like, Coach K... I don't see Coach K getting hauled off in cuffs.
Yeah.
Out of Cameron Indoor in his practice Duke warmups.
But
I don't see him getting hauled up. But I think they want to almost get one in there. Like, they'll make sure whatever happens, happens. And I'll take Duke and the calls that they get.
So you got Duke beating Michigan State?
I do.
He's done his homework, because if you don't know this, I think Coach K is something like 10-11-1 against Tom Izzo.
And they beat him already earlier this year.
I know. Yep. Yeah.
So I like Duke. I dislike the whole conspiracy aspect of it, too. Let's get him one more just in case.
What happens if they don't play Michigan State? Because I can say this. Now, everyone's fading Oklahoma, which scares me, which thinks Oklahoma is going to beat Rhode Island. But if Rhode Island does beat Oklahoma, I like Rhode Island's matchup. I'll say that. Just looking at the five against the five, starting five-wise, I like Rhode Island's chances to beat Duke.
Well, I think the JMO's talking right now. Let's get over to the West region here, where Xavier's number one, North Carolina the number two, Michigan the number three, and Gonzaga the number four. I don't think any of us are going to argue that Xavier is going to beat either NC Central or Texas Southern. Two terrible, terrible teams.
Texas Southern's hot.
Oh, let me tell you about NC Central. NC Central played Savannah State the other day. And I'm in this gambling pool, mm-hmm, at officefootballpool.com.
Savannah State had a decent year, too.
The over-under was 168.5. Mm-hmm. And NC Central was just coming off of a game against Coppin State where the score at halftime was 18-17. NC Central eventually pulled away.
I took
the over 168.5 because I'm like, the fix is in. Something is up here. Like, why
I
would
love this way
a team just scored
down
18 points in the first half, yet the over-under is 168.5? That means you need an 85-84 game or another team to score in the 90s, whatever, for it to happen. I'm like, something's up. I'm like, it's too easy of a bet. It's a sucker bet. Final score, like 114 points total. It came in, it missed by like 54 points. These guys are running up and down the court. Like, they must have missed 30 layups. I kid you not. Like, they were just running. It was a track meet.
They went to the tournament last year, and they replaced all five starters. So that coach has been coaching his ass off. They struggled in the first half of the season, and they ended up making it to the tournament. So, you know, I think they were like a 4 seed or 5 seed or something. They're going to get killed, but kudos to them for replacing five starters, you know, in college basketball. That's fucking amazing that you made it back to the tournament replacing five fucking starters.
Good talk. That's why they're pro. What do you have to say about NC Central, Justin Gilbert? Exactly. All right. So Justin, we'll start with you. Who do you have coming out of the West?
I have Michigan.
Ooh, interesting. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Tell me why you like Michigan so much.
They've gotten hot. They've beat Michigan State. They have a big guy. It's been hot. I think they could easily make it to the Final Four and championship game, possibly.
Good talk.
Good talk.
Colby Dent. Sports Gambling Podcast.
And it's
Colby Dent.
A great way to stay in shape.
You're not nervous about the 12-day rest that they got?
No, I think the rest will help them.
Really?
Do you have any upsets in this one? Any big upsets, like a double-digit seed going anywhere?
You asking me?
I mean, I have Gonzaga over Xavier, which is not an upset at all. Providence over Texas A&M. Nothing too much, no.
All right. Colby Dan?
I have South Dakota State beating Ohio State. Games played in Boise, so South Dakota State fans will show up, and I think they're really good, and they've been in the tournament the past couple of years. One of them,
South Dakota State?
Yeah. The Jackrabbits, and I tell you, UNC Greensboro, I love them with the points, and I think they're going to scare the fuck out of Gonzaga. I don't think they – I personally took Gonzaga to get the W there, but I'm telling you that's going to be a close game with 5 minutes left. I love Houston. Love Houston. I think they're actually misseeded once again.
I actually like San Diego State over them.
San Diego State's on fire right now, so I understand the reasoning.
I think it's going to be a great game.
I actually
that might be one of the better games in the first round.
Coming into it, I was sitting there. I was high on both teams, and I hated this. You know, like when you kind of eyeball two teams, and you see that they play each other, and you're like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, because something's got to give. I was projecting both teams to go a little deeper than they were supposed to go. But I do like Houston minus the, I think it's 4 points is the spread right now. I have North Carolina coming out of this this region. I have Houston actually beating Michigan. But once again, you bring up a great point. San Diego State's won 9 in a row. And sometimes when you get on rolls like that, you know, I'm afraid to fucking have a team that I like play a team that's won 9 in a row, including Nevada twice. And Nevada is no joke.
But Houston's been hot, too. They just took down Wichita State and damn near took down Cincinnati.
It kind of sucks because I thought they were a sleeper team all year long. I love the team in general. I think they're gritty. They're tough. I think they're just the real deal. I think they're the real deal, and I think that they're going to give Michigan fucking fits when they play Michigan. Because here's one thing I disagree with my friend here, is that 12 days when you're in basketball, it's different than football. 12 days rest when you're gelling like a basketball team. A lot of that shit matters. A lot of that shit matters. Timing, all that stuff. Thank you. And I personally think the Big Ten really fucked up by doing this tournament in New York City and having 12 days rest. I think it hurt Penn State and Nebraska's chances to get in the tournament because they weren't relevant when the fucking board was thinking about, you know, teams on the bubble. And I also think it's going to hurt Michigan, a team that's on fire. When you take 12 days off, I think that fucking hurts.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how the Big Ten teams do, because there's not a lot of Big Ten teams in. The top of the Big Ten is favored to go far.
It's really good. They're really good.
But so, I mean, they had even more than 12 days. I mean, Michigan State had, I think, maybe 13 or 14.
So if they do well, they might, like, this might be the way to go
in the future.
In the future, yeah. But if it backfires dramatically, then we'll keep it fresh.
So I'm gonna do you guys one better here. I like the talk. I'm gonna ride the whole talk about the tournament. The Big Ten tournament fucking over one team, and I believe that team is going to be Michigan, because Michigan was red hot. They were the team that was red hot, and it was kind of like, you know, Purdue had a couple of games in there where I think like Wisconsin beat them a couple weeks ago, and then Michigan State you know, lost to Michigan in there. So it wasn't like they weren't really like those teams weren't super hot. Michigan State had actually a decent run, but I think like Purdue and Michigan State split their series, didn't they? Didn't they each beat each other? So it wasn't like anyone else in the Big Ten was as hot as Michigan. And I think that the days off, they're going to crush Michigan, where the other teams, let me put this into consideration. The Big Ten tournament was always the last one to finish. Yeah. It was the latest right before Selection Sunday, almost to the point to where like if there was an underdog in the Big Ten like conference tournament final, they were almost in even if they lost, because the tournament didn't want to scramble, or the committee didn't want to scramble and all of a sudden say, hey, all right, take him out, we're going to put this team in instead. So they haven't won an NCAA tournament since 2000. It was Michigan State in 2000. That year they had two Big Ten teams go. They beat Wisconsin four times that year to go on and win that. And win the championship. So that was the last time a Big Ten tournament won. A Big Ten team won, excuse me, the NCAA tournament. So I think that for the teams who weren't on fire, it's going to be a good break. But for the team that was on fire, Michigan, it's going to be a bad break. And I have them losing to Montana.
Really?
In the first round, I have Montana. And I want to go through some numbers. Michigan actually is a very poor free throw shooting team. They are under 66%. From the free throw line, whereas Montana is like almost 71%. When you're looking at like the rebounds per game and the rebound margin, Montana kills them in the rebound. And again, you can say your competition, Big Ten against
Montana needed overtime in the semifinals to beat Northern Colorado.
And did you see why it got to overtime?
Did you see that dunk?
I did not see the dunk.
Okay, okay. No, but I didn't.
So this is what happened.
Refresh my memory.
This is why Montana has a horseshoe up their fucking ass right now. So they were down pretty much the whole game, but never down by like more than
five.
Yeah,
it was always like three or four,
I feel like.
I think five was like monitoring
tops.
It, yeah.
So I wasn't the only one who had money on it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Dude, right, I'm covering these games, man.
So Montana comes back. They tie the game at 80 with like 20-some seconds left. I can't watch it on TV because we cut the cord, but on my ESPN app, I'm looking. The clock stops at 1 second.
Which basically means Tommy's at Target shopping with his wife, and he's got it on his iPhone loaded up.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I'm like opening up a Fire Stick on the shelf and plugging it into like a Vizio TV.
So anyway,
so I'm looking at one second it stops on the ESPN app and it's tied at 80. I'm like, don't fucking do this to me. And all of a sudden, sure shit, foul on Montana, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna get two free throws
both?
With 1 second left. The dude misses both free throws. I think it was Northern Colorado.
Man.
He misses both free throws. It goes to overtime. And Montana, like, almost a – I think they had a four-point lead with 6 seconds left. Northern Colorado hits a three. They end up winning by one. So they go. But that is – when it's 1 second left in the game and the other team is shooting two free throws and they miss
You're
both free
there's
throws.
No way.
It is
no
your
way
year.
Out of this.
And then they made Min Stew out of Eastern Washington.
And if you have YouTube or something, please YouTube this dunk. Northern Colorado has a player – dunk on Montana. I think it's the best dunk I've seen in a game in maybe 10 or 15 years. So I don't recall the player's name, but it's well worth the watch, and you'll be thoroughly enjoyed because he just dunks all over this fucking guy's face.
All right, well, stats. So anyway, stats-wise, I'm going with Montana. Like I think, and again, numbers-wise, it's like Stephen F. Austin and Texas Tech. Just the numbers
Stephen
are there.
Austin's a lot better than Montana.
Well, I hope I win because I'm going to be tweeting you the whole time. I hope they go up like 2-0.
Hey, I've been to Missoula. You been to Missoula? It's a great fucking town. I love the people up there. It's like a little hippie town in Montana. You know, you've been there, right?
No, sir.
Dynamite dropping. All right, for time purposes, we're going to move on. So I've got two big time upsets here: Montana and then South Dakota State. But once we get to the Sweet 16. I've got Xavier. I think Xavier is getting a lot of hate right now as like one of the weakest number one seeds of all time.
I think they are the weakest number one seed of all time. Yeah.
Of all time, right? So I think they're getting a lot of hate mail, and they are going to ride that. They're going to ride it all the way to the Final Four because I have Texas A&M beating North Carolina.
Well, I think that's certainly possible.
Getting, like, you know, North Carolina getting to another Final Four, another championship game for the third year in a row. How hard is that?
You got to be honest here. Like, A&M is one of those teams that first off, they have two players that are top 15 picks in the NBA draft next year. So
thank you.
You got to think if A&M gets by Providence, which I'm skeptic on that, but if they do, they're probably going to have the more talented starting five against UNC. Scary fucking game. I'll be honest. If you're a North Carolina fan, scary. But North Carolina gets Lipscomb week one or game one in Charlotte. Get the fuck out of here. As a two seed, you cater to the two seed like that? There's politics involved, Tommy. I got UNC coming out of this region. I think Xavier actually loses to either Missouri or Gonzaga.
All right, moving on to the South. We have 5 minutes to go through the South and then talk about the Final Four and our eventual champions. I have I've got Virginia, Creighton, Davidson, Arizona, Miami, Tennessee, Texas, and Cincinnati.
Whoa, Davidson.
Davidson, they're just they're riding hot right now.
Jesus.
They shoot the three ball really well. I don't think Kentucky.
Are you hearing this guy?
No, yeah, no.
Davidson?
Talk to me.
Kentucky's playing great basketball.
They're playing
they've
great
evolved.
Basketball.
You got to remember, Kentucky's they're always misled because they have a bunch of freshmen. So that means for the first half of the season, they struggle some. By the end of the season, these freshmen are ready to be top 10 picks in the NBA draft. They're going to destroy Davidson. The line is 6. I think Kentucky's going to win by 15.
I like it. It's good talk. I'm going to go with Davidson for whatever. Fine, I'll change my pick just because of that. I'm going to go with Kentucky. The one pick that I misspoke on, Loyola Chicago, which I have going to the Sweet 16.
Me too.
Loyola
bastard.
Chicago.
I have them also in the Sweet 16.
Oh no shit! Because it was a Chicago
against,
school
right? I
against
got him
Nevada.
In the Sweet 16. I like Nevada, too.
Against Nevada in the Sweet 16.
Now, I'm taking Texas, and this is why. Remember that kid got
leukemia.
Cancer?
Yeah.
Do you understand how powerful like rallying around a kid with cancer is? The Colts were dog shit, mm-hmm. and Chuck Pagano got cancer, and it turned him in basically into coach of the year.
Yeah, but they're also in the AFC South. When you do that, I mean, shit. Anything can happen in the AFC South.
I think Shaka Smart is a very good tournament coach. I think he knows what to say. He knows how to get his team. I don't think Texas, like stats-wise, had a tournament team at all. And if you look at them against Nevada, Nevada blows them away.
No, well, Nevada's got some senior leadership, some grad transfers, I believe, from Purdue and NC State. I just think Nevada is a dangerous team. But I will say this, Texas plays great defense, so you never know. And Nevada's been up and down. They've been playing kind of shitty the past week or two, so maybe there's something to it, Tom.
All right, so I have Loyola Chicago going all the way to the Elite Eight. They're going to be the surprise team, I think.
I have them going to the Sweet 16.
I have them over Nevada for the Elite Eight.
Good talk.
I got Virginia coming out of this, but I will say Kentucky scares the hell out of me, and I also think that if there was to be a 215 upset, which I doubt there will be, it will be Georgia State beating Cincinnati.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Love it. By far the best Hunter, the Hunter coach.
Yeah.
By far the best 15 out of all the 15.
I have Arizona coming out of this.
They're in fuck you mode because of the scandal.
But they also have the best player probably in the game.
I like that angle, yeah, though. And you also have them coaching. They're trying to rep for their coach, being like, fuck you, NCAA. Yeah. I like that angle. It's kind of like the Patriots after they got caught cheating for the 30th time. You know what I mean? I'll tell you this, though. It scares me when we all have Loyola.
Loyola Chicago. Yeah. Well, he's got Loyola Chicago for one reason.
Well, no, because they have the fifth best defense in all the country.
I love their roster. I've been following them all year. They're an experienced team. These players have been playing with each other for a long time. I think most of them are seniors. So
most of them are 6 years seniors.
Yeah.
tough school school to get out of in just 4 years.
But yeah, I mean, I think Cincinnati could also come out of this thing. I like UVA. Everyone's shitting on UVA. That's kind of why I like them. All the money's going away from UVA to come out of there.
Normally, if you win the regular season in the ACC, you win the conference tournament in the ACC, you are the overwhelming favorite to win it all, yet they're getting crapped on.
Well, Tony Bennett's track record in the tournament, even before UVA, when he was at Washington
State. They blew
that
huge lead against Syracuse to go to the Final Four.
It's also a brutal region to come out of.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to get a couple of good games out of there, though. Arizona, Kentucky, Virginia, Creighton.
I got K-State beating Creighton, but that's one of those games where I literally flip a coin because Creighton – I'll say this, man. If Creighton plays UVA, I mean, certain days Creighton is on fire, and they have shooters. It's a very strange team for this whole region, I would say. Creighton's kind of like the one team that doesn't really – I mean, not that all the teams have the same styles and stuff, but Creighton's like – a scary team for UVA to play because of how well they shoot the ball.
All right, so I've got Virginia, Purdue, Xavier, and Duke. My final is going to be Purdue against Virginia, and Purdue takes down Virginia in the final.
Crazy
63-58. 63-58, a low-scoring game. We're due for a low-scoring game here.
I think it's going to be low-scoring regardless of the teams.
So I've got Purdue over Virginia to win it all. Again, my final four is Xavier, Virginia, Purdue, and Duke. Purdue and Virginia advance, and Purdue wins it all. Justin?
I have Arizona over Michigan, and then Michigan State over Villanova, and then Michigan State over Arizona.
Unbelievable. That would be nice. It's actually not a bad Final Four. I think it would be a very entertaining Final Four. Michigan's just last year since their plane crash, they really have been playing basketball like it's their last day on this.
Well, and their bus crashed this year, so they have that going.
Unbelievable!
Yeah, Big 10 tournament. I mean, I have Villanova, I have Michigan State, I have North Carolina, and I have Virginia, and I have Virginia playing Villanova in the national championship, and I think Villanova steals it.
A couple of number ones. Great talk from The Colby D on Twitter. Of course, you can find him on the Sports Gambling Podcast every single week. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com or @gamblingpodcast on Twitter. Justin Gilbert, You can find him at
the local Ralph's
at
in
the
Marina Del Rey.
You can find him at the Shack. You can also find him on Facebook. My name is Tommy Gilmer. You can find me at dailyupperdecker.com on Facebook and on Twitter at dailyupperdeck. And of course, go to the dailyupperdecker.com right now and sign up for our free Daily Upper Decker NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge. It's free.
Free
you win
money.
$100. You
free
win $100.
Money.
Bucks
just do it.
If you do the bracket, all right? Just make sure you take Purdue to win it all so you have a chance to beat me. Another great, great job, guys. Great seeing you. It's going to be a fun 4 days. We'll talk about all of the upsets, all of the NCAA action, and of course all the hookers that Odell Beckham fucks while the games are going on next week here on the Daily Upper Decker.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.